Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We have the people, oligarchy, we have the people. That's your summary of the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula yesterday afternoon. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, I actually listened to it. So you didn't have to. I listened to the full speech by AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in Missoula yesterday. I also listened to all but the last 3 or 4 minutes or so of Bernie Sanders, the socialist senator from Vermont, his speech. And we're going to have some of the hilarious highlights and some of the crazy highlights here for you a little bit later in this show. Today is Thursday, and every Thursday during the Montana legislative session, we've been featuring a legislative update. And typically we'll have both Republican Senate President Matt Regeer join us on the show and Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin on the program, getting both parties represented, and then a little bit of a flavor from the Senate and a flavor from the House as well. But today, right now, as we speak, the state Senate is in the middle of a floor session. The budget is being discussed and debated right now, and President Regeer, as we were told, is managing multiple amendments where conservative Republican lawmakers are trying to peel back this massive spending that is apparently being jammed through the process in the Capitol right now. And so they're trying to peel that back. So he's going to be focused on trying to trim back some of that spending as we speak. So he won't join us for the legislative update. But what is going on with this massive spending in Helena? I mean, the big three that you and I and most of us are waiting for is across-the-board income tax relief, judicial reform, and, of course, the big one. This is the 80-20 issue, at least, if not more, property tax relief. Now, it does appear, I'm seeing a couple of headlines where it appears that the logjam on property tax relief is starting to break, so maybe the deadline is forcing them to come to some agreements there to deliver some significant property tax relief. So hopefully that gets through. We'll ask Representative Carlin where that stands here in just a few minutes. But what about the budget? Has the 9 Republican senators that have been voting with Democrats when it comes to the rules and when it comes to committee assignments, have they effectively handed over control of the budget, or at least given veto power when it comes to these conference committees and the like, to the Democrats in the legislature? That's not what Montanans voted for last November. They voted overwhelmingly to put Republicans in charge of state government. They voted overwhelmingly, even after a gerrymandered redistricting process that was run by the Democrats. Republicans still got elected to have a Republican majority and in the House and in the Senate. So has a handful of Republicans now effectively handed control of the spending over to the Democrats? I'm going to play Jeff Lasloffy's legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. I heard it earlier this morning. We'll play that in place of Senate President Regeer, who's on the floor right now.
Tackling the issues that shape our state, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, some of you may have heard this on some of your local radio stations earlier this morning as well. This was the legislative update from Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation, and he breaks down. He's a former Speaker Pro Tem in the Montana House of Representatives before his 20-plus years with the Family Foundation covering the legislature as well. So he knows how this process works, and man, it sure sounds like a handful of Republicans have effectively given Democrats control of the massive spending that's going on right now.
Here we are on day 77 of the 2025 legislative session, and we've reached another milestone. This is the day the Senate debates the budget bill in what will be a marathon floor session. As we said before, House Bill 2, also known as the state budget, is the most important bill of the entire legislative session. It began in the House Appropriations Committee, then went to the House floor, where members debated the bill in an all-day session, then transmitted to the Senate Finance Committee, where it was amended and passed to the Senate floor, which brings us to today. Debate begins at 8 a.m. and will probably continue nonstop into the evening. Similar to the House, the Senate chamber is now reconfigured with additional tables filled with computers and members of the Legislative Fiscal Division present to keep track of spending throughout the day. This year's debate is sure to be filled with surprises because of the interesting dynamics created by 9 Senate Republicans who have joined with Senate Democrats to control the process. In school, we were taught that spending is controlled by the House of Representatives, but that's only partially true. In reality, the spending bill does begin in the House, then is sent to the Senate, where the Senate Finance Committee amends the bill to reflect Senate priorities. The bill then goes to the Senate floor, where it's amended further. So by the time the Senate passes the bill, it no longer reflects the priorities of the House of Representatives, but is now in the form that the Senate wants it. The bill then goes to a free conference committee made up of members of both the House and Senate, where members of the House will try to place their priorities back into the bill. The conference committees this session are made up of 2 Republicans and 1 Democrat from each House for a total of 6 members. That means 4 votes are necessary to amend the bill. Normally, that's not an issue, but this session's different. Recent changes to the Senate rules gave the Senate minority leader veto power over the Senate members of the conference committee. Rather than 4 solid conservative votes and 2 liberal votes, there will probably be 2 or 3 conservative votes and 3 or 4 liberal votes on the committee. The liberals, in essence, will control the conference committee. The concrete began to set in favor of the Democrats when the bill was amended to their liking in the Senate Finance Committee and then passed out with all Democrats voting yes, joined by 4 members of the 9 who changed the Senate rules on day 1. Those voting no on the bill included all the rest of the Republicans, including the chairman and vice chairman of the committee. It's hard to explain the impact of that vote. Never before in anyone's recollection has the minority party in any legislative session been given control of the state budget. But that appears to have been what happened here, and it completely changes what will happen during today's debate on the Senate floor. Normally, the bill comes out of committee reflecting the priorities of the majority party. The minority party then makes motion after motion on the floor to amend the bill by adding more money back into it, usually to no avail. In this case, since the bill is already in the form that the Democrats want it, it will be the Republicans proposing the amendment, and probably still to no avail. The bill will then go to the conference committee, where amendments will again be rejected because the Democrats in the Senate control the makeup of the committee. In the end, the Democrats won't get everything they wanted. No one ever does, but many of their spending priorities will be included in the bill. The only possibilities for change at that point would be a line item amendatory veto by the governor. With less than 2 weeks to go in the session, we're quickly coming down to the wire, and with respect to House Bill 2, the end seems so near and yet so far. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy, reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, now I asked Speaker Brandon Lehr about this very thing yesterday. Okay, so what do the people of Montana, if they want to see this spending reduced, what do they tell their lawmakers? Is there an alternative spending bill to support? Here's what Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr said yesterday. Let me cue it up. Here we go.
The governor had a budget that stayed within inflation, and through the appropriations process, there was a few things that got there that did raise the budget. It is bigger than the governor's proposed budget. And we've passed so many spending bills up here, it isn't funny. I don't know what the last figure was, but we're roughly $1 billion overspent. And so through the governor's veto process, through, you know, the appropriations process, and when the bill is transmitted on whether it's the House floor or Senate floor, there's a lot of money that needs to be dealt with, that needs to go away, because Montana will run red ink if we don't get rid of some of this stuff.
Interesting. Well, that's why, you know, frankly, if the income tax relief and the property tax relief is front-loaded, then that's then those numbers are already calculated, and because otherwise they think, oh well, we got all this money to spend, and then it's just so easy for people to go ahead and spend it. All right, Speaker of the House Brandon Lee.
Yeah, there we go. So that's the problem right now, is the spending is continuing to pile up beyond what the governor proposed in his budget, which according to the speaker there was in line with inflation. And as Jeff Lasloffy predicted, he said now, because the Democrats are effectively in control thanks to those handful of Republicans, it's the conservative Republicans that are trying to peel back the massive overspending, that they're spending your money. Yet where's the income tax relief? Where's the property tax relief? And the Democrats are effectively running the process. And as Jeff Lasloffy predicted, what I'm hearing out of Helena, out of the state capitol right now, is those Republican amendments to peel back the spending are failing because a handful of Republicans are teaming up with the Democrats. Meanwhile, you mean everybody else is saying, hey, give us our money back. Property tax relief, income tax relief, and where's the judicial reform? They got one across the finish line. Where's the rest?
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Okay. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, sorry, announcer guy. Cut off the announcer guy there. That's all right. Our producer, Caden's been whipping up some great new bumpers for us, some new music, so it's always fun. Great job, Caden. Yeah, just got an update from Caden here as well. Yeah, hey, and like I've said before, Semper Gumby, always flexible, because, you know, we've been doing this weekly legislative update if they're available. But, hey, today is a big day, and frankly, they're down to the wire. They got less than 2 weeks to go before they run out of legislative days for the legislative session. And you guys are probably in agreement with me. It's great to have the lawmakers on the show. It's great to have them, you know, tell us what's going on or what needs to be happening. But I'd much rather have them on the floor right now figuring out property tax relief than coming on the show just talking about it. And anyway, so I told you, President Regeer from the Republican side, he's busy trying to peel back the spending on the Senate floor this morning. On the Democrat side of the aisle, Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin is also in committee votes this morning and in between meetings. So he's not able to join us today, but that's all right, because, hey, we got phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. We're going to do open phones in the second half of the show today anyway. Now we got more time for you to talk and for you to be heard all across Montana. This legislative stuff, though, it's so important right now. In fact, I've got some more Bernie Sanders AOC highlights from the rally in Missoula yesterday that I want to share with you. But I agree. One of our listeners sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I think it was David in Boulder. And he made a great point, and I agree. He's like, man, this stuff going on in Helena right now in the legislature is way more important than anything AOC and Bernie might have talked about yesterday. Yeah, I totally agree with David in Boulder. He said this: if the Republicans don't get their act together, people will turn to Bernie and AOC. History will repeat itself. So if Republicans don't get their act together, that's from David in Boulder. Or I think people will finally start paying more attention in these primaries as well. I think, because right now, I'll tell you what I'm hearing from everybody is, what in the world is going on in Helena? What the heck is going on? What a mess. But you could hear the frustration in Speaker of the House Brandon Lear's voice as well. The people of Montana did not vote to put Zoe Zephyr in charge of the budget. The people of Montana did not vote to put Zoe Zephyr in charge of anything. And yet, you know, our friend David Noble, I was chatting with David Noble earlier this morning. Our friend, you know, David Noble was saying that Zoe Zephyr is out there bragging on X, sending all sorts of tweets out there bragging. Now, what prompted his braggartly tweets? Well, first, yesterday, I should play this clip for you here, so because this ties in with the legislature. Look, the Montana Democrat Party, they are doubling down on the craziness that just got rejected last November, the crazy transgender agenda, men and girls locker rooms, everything.
Now, I think the voters have been so loud and clear on property tax relief that both parties know they better deliver on property tax relief, or they're all going to be held accountable over that one. But yeah, yesterday, AOC, let me see where I put it on my time hack here. AOC, just after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was telling the Bernie Sanders far-left socialist crowd in Missoula about how they need a brawler to run for Congress in the Western Montana Congressional District, immediately after talking about somebody running for Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez started heaping praise towards a man named Zoe Zephyr. And, man, I tell you what, if you go to the Montana Talks podcast, you'll hear me talk much more length about the AOC Bernie Sanders rally. But to me, what was most interesting about the fact that AOC gave this big shout out to a man who identifies as a woman named Zoe Zephyr is that there were women elected Democrats that were actually in the crowd. The actual women Democrats didn't get the shout out. Instead, this is what he got.
You know that, Missoula, because you sent an amazing state representative in Zoe Zephyr to the state capitol. That's my girl out there.
That's my girl?
I was actually texting with Zoe this week. She was going to be here today, but she's at the Capitol right now voting for you all. Doing her job. But Montana, that's because it is standing together without exception to reject division.
Oh, to reject division. Are you kidding me? This is the party that says men have privacy rights and women don't. That's what the gay judge in Missoula just ruled. He was pushing his own personal LGBTQ agenda, and he rejected a bill that actually passed the legislature protecting women's sports, protecting women's locker rooms. And this LGBTQ judge pushed his LGBTQ agenda. Apparently he loves men so much and hates women so much that his ruling said, no, men have privacy rights to enter the women's bathroom. Women, you don't get privacy rights. You don't get privacy rights. That's how radical this party is. The women Democrats at the rally don't get a shout out from AOC, but dude gets one. I mean, bruh, what is going on there? But back to David Noble's point, he apparently saw some tweets from Zoe Zephyr and said, Zoe Zephyr is bragging. Zoe Zephyr is just laughing at the Republican legislators right now, bragging about how he is running the table and in control of the legislature right now. So, yeah, David and Boulder, you know, you're right. What's going on in Helena and what's going on in the legislature is way more important than anything Bernie and AOC said yesterday. But the stories tie in very well together, don't they? Because the AOC Bernie Sanders crowd is exactly... It's the type of crazy that the Montana Democrats are doubling down on right now. All right, I got more highlights from that rally yesterday in Missoula. I'll share with you. By the way, credit to PBS. That's where I saw the full live stream on YouTube. And so, yeah, your taxpayer dollars at work there. Tom and Bozeman, what's going on, Tom?
Hey, I think they should just call this Bernie the Red and the Bartender Tour. I wouldn't walk across the street to see either one of those idiots.
Yeah, Bernie loves Soviet communism. He loves Chinese communism. But you start, you know, arresting sex traffickers from China and murderers from Guatemala, and now Bernie is complaining about his friends being disappeared off the streets in America, right?
Yeah, those MS-13 guys, you know, they... So everybody's like, "Oh, who's going to pick the vegetables now?" That they're, and it's like, "Well, it seemed like I didn't realize that MS-13 and Trende Aragua were out picking lettuce when they weren't out murdering folk.
Yeah. Yeah, and the numbers have already been, you know, Stephen Miller has exposed that garbage. Like, first off, how outrageous is it that somebody like Jasmine Crockett, you know, is basically saying outright that she wants illegal aliens to do her slave wage labor for her? I mean, my goodness. You know, and these guys who say nothing about the slave labor in China, it's just crazy. Hey, thanks for the call. You know, although my whole thing is, you know, the criticism of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being a bartender, I would slightly agree with AOC there. Like, I don't think being a waitress or a bartender is a disqualifier for being a member of Congress. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I could go out across Montana. I could go find a whole batch of bartenders and waitresses who are 100 times smarter than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and are fully qualified to be members of Congress. And here's AOC and Bernie Sanders, who's now been exposed as a fraud and as a hypocrite. If Bernie Sanders actually cared about working class men and women, instead of speaking on the stage yesterday about how he's going to stop, that they need to focus all their efforts on stopping Trump, why couldn't he have come out in support and spoken at the rally? Why couldn't AOC? She wanted to brag about being a waitress. She wanted to brag about being a bartender. Well, then you should have thanked Montana's Republican congressional delegation, like Senator Steve Daines, like Senator Tim Sheehy, Ryan Zinke, Trey Daniels. You should have thanked every single one of them for supporting President Trump's no tax on tips plan. But see, they don't care about the working men and women because they want to raise your taxes and strip you of what, you know, some might call a living wage. Travis in Billings. Travis, what's going on?
Hey, good morning to you, Aaron. Just kind of wondering, caught the tail end of you speaking about a representative there in Missoula that was appointed to a budgetary position. Just kind of wondering what the pre-qualification or past experience of that person is with budgets of that size.
Oh, so you talking about Zoe Zephyr and what's Zephyr's experience to be in charge of the budget?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. Probably used other people's money to get his body parts chopped off. So he's used to taking other people's money to do some crazy things. So, I'm trying to think what other experience. He did like some sort of dancing programs in Missoula. So he can dance around the real issue, which is a key qualification for a politician.
Yes, sir.
You've got to have the answer. You raised the question for a reason, right? You got to have the answer.
I don't. I just I'm concerned about unqualified people being in charge of budget and tax money.
Amen, bro.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Bayer is saying it may stop producing glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, unless it receives court protection from ongoing lawsuits linking the herbicide to cancer. The company currently supplies about 40% of global glyphosate demand. In early March, Bayer alerted farmers, suppliers, and retailers that a halt in production could come within months, not years, forcing U.S. agriculture to rely more heavily on Chinese imports. USDA says over 90% of U.S. corn, soybean, and cotton crops are genetically engineered to resist glyphosate, making it a critical tool for weed control. In other news, a bill to remove wolves from the Endangered Species Act has passed a key House committee and is moving to a full House vote. Sponsored by Representative Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin, the Pet and Livestock Protection Act is gaining traction with Republican control in Congress and the White House. Tiffany's optimistic about its chances this year. Major ag groups like the Farm Bureau, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the Public Lands Council support the bill. It took an act of Congress to delist the gray wolves in Wyoming, Idaho, and here in Montana, and turned control of the species over to each respective state. Tiffany introduced a similar bill last year, but says he's much more confident about its chances of passing this year. I'm Lane Nordlund.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, we got a song request. We got a song request that just came in. Greg Franks and Billing said, you got to play that song by the Temptations. I was thinking about that one, too. Yeah, that one's very fitting. In the song, they actually talk about when it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. And I'm seeing snow continuing to fall outside of our Montana Talks studios here. But it's April 17th, so the month of May is right around the corner. So when it's cold outside, we've got the month of May. But then again, it's Montana. We'll probably get snow in May, too. And we'll get snow in June. So, but the other song I was thinking we could play, there's a country song out, My Girl. Dylan Scott, I guess, is the artist of that song. But, yeah, cool country song on the air. But, you know, one of the lyrics in that song is, that's my girl in the passenger seat. But apparently Zoe Zephyr is in the driver's seat in Helena right now. Zoe Zephyr is in the driver's seat when it comes to spending your money, when it comes to refusing to give you across-the-board income tax relief, but is already figuring out a way to spend $1 billion plus of the budget surplus. What a slap in the face to working men and women all across the state of Montana. And hell, even if you're a transgender person, what a slap in the face to you. We don't care what you do with your day-to-day life, but do you want the government getting into your back pocket? Whether you're wearing a skirt or jeans, do you want the government taking more money out of your back pocket? I mean, can we all agree with that, that we deserve more of our money back? Anyway, here is the song requested here. And, you know, AOC gave a shout out. That's my girl out there. The man. Not a lot of soul in the house. Not a lot of soul in the house. A lot of liberal white folks in the house in Missoula yesterday. But no big surprise, Kamala Harris got almost 43,000 votes in Missoula in the November election. So no surprise that a handful of them would have shown up for the Bernie AOC rally yesterday. You know, we're talking about My Girl, playing the song My Girl. Did you hear how they talked about their friends and who they claimed are their friends? I'm going to play a clip from Bernie Sanders, outraged over the criminal illegal aliens who are being deported. I'll play that clip here in just a second. We've got phone lines open for you. If you want to weigh in, 406-294-0970. First up, though, let's go to Jason in Polson. Jason, what's on your mind? Okay, apparently Jason's not ready. I'm going to throw Jason back on hold there. I can hear it must be doing the dishes in the background there. That's all right. I'll throw him on hold if our producer can check in to see if he's still wanting to yap with us. We'll get to Jason or call back in. Let's see. I just had it queued up here. Let me go back to Bernie Sanders. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Bernie Sanders presented this false choice. He said, what America has, it's oligarchy or democracy. Actually, it's neither. America is a republic. Oligarchy or democracy. Now, he wants mob rule. But here's the deal. He doesn't even have the mob behind him anymore. He doesn't even have the people behind him anymore. Like, Bernie, I don't know what year you think this is. In fact, we got a great young man who's filling in, or he's going to fill in for Caden when Caden goes on vacation here in a few days. And so he's learning the ropes from Caden right now. Finley Warden, a young man out of Missoula, Montana, here in our Montana Talk studios today as well. He's going to fill in for Caden one of these days. But it was interesting getting Finley's reaction to the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula yesterday. He said that a lot of the young people that he knows went.
to the Bernie AOC rally yesterday, and he says a lot of them were just disappointed with it. You know, because AOC is kind of old news now, and she just kept reiterating the same, you know, talking points, oligarchy, oligarchy, oligarchy. And then Bernie, he said for a lot of them, it was like being yelled at by this 80-year-old man, this out-of-touch 80-year-old man. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Maybe we'll see if Finley wants to jump in with more reactions here in just a second as well. But here else is what Bernie Sanders, the Muppet in Chief, says that they are fighting.
But it's not just oligarchy and the power of the rich that we are fighting. Right now, we are taking on a president who undermines our Constitution every day. Who threatens our freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. We're taking on a president whose agents are riding around in unmarked cars, grabbing people off of the streets, putting them in vans, and taking them to detention centers in this country and abroad.
Yeah, listen to that crowd boo. Listen to that crowd boo. Earlier, when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on that same stage at the Adams Center in Missoula, AOC described those people as her friends. And she told this crowd of far-left activists in Missoula, she says, our friends are being disappeared. And she said, similar to what Bernie said right there, she said, agents in unmarked vans are disappearing our friends. Now, I won't go through the whole litany that you can hear on our Montana Talks podcast, but Rapid Response 47 on X detailed at length several of AOC's friends who she claims are being disappeared. They include an illegal alien from China who is sex trafficking. He's involved with sex trafficking. They include rapists. They include murderers. They include sodomists. All sorts of things. That's who AOC says her friends are that are being disappeared off the streets. That's who Bernie Sanders says are his friends being disappeared off the streets. That's who every single one of those people that were robotically cheering anything that those two rich socialists said yesterday were cheering for. They were outraged. And then Bernie Sanders, how dare you? How dare you suggest that President Trump is trying to take away the free speech rights of Americans or the freedom of association of Americans? Bernie Sanders is once again continuing to provide cover fire for these barbaric, hateful, despicable, anti-Semitic left-wing mobs that are intimidating, threatening, and harassing Jewish students or any other patriotic American that might stand up for our friends in Israel. How dare you, Bernie? How dare you spew that anti-Semitic nonsense on the campus of the University of Montana? You hypocritical clown. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's see. Oh, oh, Greg Franks in Billings. He had the song request. Apparently, he's got another song request here. What's your next?
I take it back. Instead of playing My Girl, I think you need to play Aerosmith. Dude Looks Like a Lady. you know, let the Democrats bring Bernie and AOC in and let them spew their liberal nonsense and let that be the face of the Democrat Party. Let them continue on that path and be the face, and we'll just continue to chalk up more and more victories.
Yeah, I agree. You know, every time I saw these guys cheer, and the liberal media in Missoula was just fawning over this thing. Oh, my goodness, look at all these people that are here. 40,000 people voted for Kamala Harris in Missoula. Of course, you know, they can fill up the Adams Center arena. But, I mean, give me a break. It's just like, but they're just fawning over this. To me, it's a sign that the Montana Democrat Party is doubling down on the crazy that just got rejected.
I think they're desperate. I really do. I mean, you look at the leadership, the potential of, without bringing 9 Republicans along to side with them because they want to hold their chairmanships or their positions of power, the Democrats are continuing to be a minority party in this state. You look at the prospects for these upcoming elections against Steve Daines, and even in 4 years or 3 years for the statewide offices, their bench is completely empty. And if they're going to highlight somebody like Zoe to be the forefront, God bless them, because I'll tell you, I would love to run candidates against that as the face of the Democrat Party.
Well, and frankly, for the Republican Party, too, if there's a handful of Republicans that are effectively putting Zoe Zephyr in the driver's seat for when it comes to the budget and things like that, a lot of Republicans don't get involved in primaries and they kind of ignore the primaries. I think that's going to change in a major way the next legislative go-round. If they're putting Zoe Zephyr in the driver's seat with the budget, you know, man, I'm sure there's a few song requests that could go with that one as well. Greg Franks, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We'll get back to your calls right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got to kind of try to mute Bernie. I still had my Bernie Sanders audio running in the background here for just a second. Okay, I think I've got Bernie muted. And now I can play the next song request from Greg in Billings, who just called in there as well. All right, here's the other song request. We had the Temptations earlier. Now it's Aerosmith. All right, there you go. Special for you, Greg. Yeah, we don't normally do song requests. We've got a lot of great local radio stations carrying the show right now, but we do like to take your phone calls. 294-0970. Let's go to Rick in Billings. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, before my question, I'd like to say one thing. I don't care how much makeup you put on that person, that it's never going to look like a lady. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that makeup costs a lot of money. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, even if you were leaning that direction, my goodness.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, my question is,
whether you do this or you do that in your own house, do your thing, bro. But here's the thing. Get your hand out of my pocket. Stop stealing my money, right?
Yeah. And don't do it in my front yard.
Or don't go try to do it to the kids and chop their body parts off and give them life-altering drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm usually up on things, but I never heard how that person got control of the budget. I never saw that on the news anywhere. Can you explain that to me and probably a lot of other people?
Well, essentially, I mean, other folks heard the same report that I did from Jeff Lasloff with the Montana Family Foundation. His legislative update, what he says is that effectively you've had 9 Republicans in the state Senate that have effectively been voting with the Democrats. Not all the time. I mean, some of them are still voting on, you know, conservative measures. But when it comes to rules and committee assignments and then Medicaid expansion, things like that. But this is where rules and committee assignments matter, especially when it comes to conference committees. So if I heard Lasloff's report accurately here, effectively those 9 have given Democrats essentially veto authority and effectively control over the conference committees and over this budget process. That's why the Republican Senate president right now is trying to amend these spending bills to get some of the outrageous spending out of there. And so far, it sounds like to no avail.
Will these 9 Republicans, will their names be in the newspaper?
Well, they've been on the radio a bunch. They've been in the newspaper a bunch. I don't know if he's the leader of the 9, but the most prominent one has been the former Senate president, Ellsworth out of Hamilton. He was the former Senate president. He ran for Senate president again. Regeer ended up winning the presidency. Since then, he started partnering with these other folks, and it looked like the fight, you know, should have just been about committee assignments and should have been done and over with back in January, but somehow it has dragged on all the way up until the very bitter end.
Well, it seems as though, you know, I lived in Wyoming for a long time before I came up here, and I heard it was a little liberal up here, but I think that people need to find out exactly who these 9 people are, write their names down, and then make sure that they're never elected again in the state of Montana.
Well, and I think people will pay more and more attention. I mean, they've got 2 weeks to try to salvage this thing here and deliver property tax relief, deliver across-the-board income tax relief, and deliver judicial reform. And if they don't, especially property tax relief, I think you're going to see people finally get involved in Republican primaries like they have never before. Rick, thanks for the call. Let's go to Arnie in Boyd. Arnie, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning. Say, I was on the same thing with Rick there, but could you please give the names and county of them 9 rhinos out there so the people can call in on them and start getting on them on what's going on? That's all I wanted, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, do you have any of the names in front of you, Arnie? I don't have the full miner in front of me right now. I should just paste it in front of me, because I've shared the list several times on the radio. We've had callers share the list as well. I know it's been publicized, but do you have any of the names in front of you?
I do not. I just heard you on here talking about that, and I just call them as of right where I'm at, but I don't have them.
Well, what I would say, though, Arnie, is what I would say, though, is that it's not just the 9 in the state Senate. There are some very concerning votes or lack thereof in the state House as well. And, you know, one of the guys I'd be interested in hearing from is Representative Barker out of your neck of the woods.
Is he one of them?
Well, it sure seems like you start to see a few names time and time again where it's like, wow, why didn't they vote this way? Why didn't they vote that way? Why did they vote that way? And that seems to be one of those names that has come up a few different times. So I'd be interested in hearing from him. Hey, why are you voting the way you're voting and things like that? And really, at the end of the day, look, if we're not getting property tax relief, if we're not getting income tax relief, and we're not getting the judicial reform in a big way, but yet somehow you guys are spending $1 billion more of our money when we all could use more of our money back in our pockets. What the heck are you doing back there?
Well, yeah, I didn't catch Barker in there, and I guess I haven't been paying attention like I was during the election. But when we had the Republican dinner up here at Red Lodge and all that, he promised us that he wouldn't do this stuff, and now here he is doing it again.
All right. Arnie, good to hear from you. I hear the music. Man, I had a few more callers I wanted to sneak on. I apologize, we're out of time. Here's the deal, though. Our good friend David Noble is filling in. I'm taking Friday off. It's a very extra Freedom Friday for me, but it's going to be a great Freedom Friday for you with David Noble, guest hosting Freedom Friday right here.